We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. There are many reasons we watch the Super Bowl. Maybe it's the halftime guests and that big production that surrounds them. Maybe it's the ads. Companies really step up their game, knowing millions of people will be watching and talking about them. Or it could be all of those things, plus a love of the actual game itself. Well, whatever your reasons for watching or not, you are participating in a cultural phenomenon. James South is a professor of philosophy at Marquette University and a pop culture expert. We asked him to talk with us about the Super Bowl and to explain why it's such a cultural touchstone in American society.
There are certainly historical precedents for the Super Bowl throughout human history, from the Olympics in ancient Greece to today, the Super Bowl or any other national championship kind of game. There seems to be something about the nature of competition and excellence in competition that appeals to human beings.
Okay, so I was thinking, as I was making notes to myself, I was thinking, is this our Roman spectacle?
I think it's certainly one of our Roman spectacles. I think it's our most Roman of spectacles.
Our own gladiators and entertainment.
When you think about the NBA championship or the World Series or Wimbledon or something like that, you don't have the same pre-build-up, you don't have the same halftime show, you don't have the same sort of cultural excitement about it, that even people who otherwise don't watch football will watch that game, sometimes just for the advertising.
That's one of my things. We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm wondering why football? Why do you think it is this particular sport that encourages this kind of adulation?
I think the violence has something to do with it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I think it's a contact sport. Other than hockey, I can't think of more of a contact sport that's prevalent in the USA or North America. And so I think that the competition, at any point, a fight could break out, a disagreement. Yes, there's just something. And there's also something about the admiration for the two teams that actually make it to this game. Even if you don't have any local investment in them, you realize that they've undergone a very grueling season. They're all hurt. They're all injured. They're all bruised. And yet they're out there still playing their hearts out.
Yeah, and you know, I'm more of a baseball fan than I am a football fan, and I wonder, is it just the lack of violence? Because baseball doesn't really have that, and they have a grueling season, and you get to the World Series, and may the best two of the teams win, kind of thing. But it seems like it's a much more genteel way of competing.
Well, I think in baseball, there's not one chance, right? This you win or you lose the Super Bowl on one day. And on any given day, any team can beat any other team. Over a course of a 7-game series and a World Series, that's very different. And so the concentration of the Super Bowl is, I think, a really important, attractive element to it.
What about the money? Because there's a lot of money both spent and made. Is that part of the appeal, too, that this, like, huge, opulent, lavish spectacle?
I think it is. I think it's a way that we indulge ourselves into thinking that this means something really important to not just us, but to the teams that are playing, to the areas that are represented, to the culture at large. And again, I'm not myself a huge football fan, but I'm going to watch the game because I'm going to want to talk about it around the water cooler the next day.
And I think that's an important point you make there, too, is that is it one of those things that gathers all of us together in a way that other things don't?
Well, I think having so many different teams in the NFL is something that brings communities into the cycle that leads into the series. So even though I know there are lots of Green Bay Packers fans who are very disappointed that they're not going to be playing on Sunday, at the same time, they've been watching the Packers play all these other teams for 17 games or 16 games, and of course they're going to be interested in this. And there's a tendency for us to take sides regardless. And is there an underdog? Do we root for the underdog? Do we root for the team that we think is going to win? The amount of betting that goes on about this?
That is a whole different money piece.
A very different money piece, but a very crucial money piece because, like I said, on any given day, any team can beat another team. And upsets occur routinely in the Super Bowl. I remember as a kid when the New York Jets won the Super Bowl, and it was such a big upset, and it launched Joe Namath's career. And I was in the bookstore yesterday, and he's got an autobiography out, right? We haven't forgotten Joe Namath because of that upset.
Well, and I was thinking of all the bookies who either made or lost that day when they upset.
Exactly.
As well, and probably changed the course of a lot of different careers. You mentioned the ads, and of course, people who are not football fans at all will often tune in simply to watch the advertisements, which have become their own thing. And obviously, that's a big part of this, too. When did that first start happening, when the ads became almost as important as the game itself?
I'm not a historian of this by any means, but in my recollection, and I mean, and I'm old enough to remember the first retroactively called Super Bowl, I don't remember this being this big of a deal until the late 80s. And certainly that's when people started introducing new items, trying to sell their, you know, primary product, the top-of-the-line product. This year we've got Mike Bloomberg, who's got an advertisement on the Super Bowl. That must be costing him a fortune, but he can afford it, and he thinks he's got a reason to do it. And
he's certainly going to have an audience.
And he's going to have a built-in audience. That's right. And as you said, I know that the day after the Super Bowl, even if I've watched it, I will go on YouTube and I will watch the compilation of ads, because people put a lot of money and creative time into those ads for Super Bowl games that they don't put into other ads.
Some of them are fabulous.
Because they want to be talked about.
Right.
Yes.
They
want to be associated with that excitement and competitiveness of the Super Bowl.
And we mentioned the halftime show, and that is another big cultural. I mean, for somebody to be invited to be the main halftime performer is a huge career boost. If they aren't already superstars like Beyonce, but that's still a boost for her.
That's correct.
Yeah.
No, or they wouldn't agree to do it.
Right.
And, of course, we know there have been both controversial and non-controversial Super Bowl halftime shows. And, again, that's something that just seems different from other professional sports.
Yeah, it does to me, too, is like we've got this whole culture around this one thing that is even separate from the rest of the football season.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
It is an extra long halftime because they've got to do this spectacle. And I mean, I remember going to baseball games when I was younger, and on the 4th of July, there'd be fireworks after the game. But that's not the same thing as a halftime show at the Super Bowl.
With fireworks and overflights and whatever else
all
is going on.
All of those things.
Yeah. The rigging alone for that, you know, probably would feed a small city just on the pay for those guys.
Exactly. Yeah. And, of course, the people who want to be seen at the Super Bowl, too. Just being affiliated with the Super Bowl sometimes makes people who attend the Super Bowl seem more interesting to other people. So, I mean, that's why presidents go to the Super Bowl. It's why they invite the Super Bowl winner to the White House afterwards. These are ways of gaining cultural cachet somehow among sports fans.
So what about the people who don't like football? How do they fit into this? Is it in opposition to all of this?
I would guess it would depend on why they don't like football. As I said, I myself am not someone who watches football obsessively. I will occasionally watch a game. But I think those who don't like football are still interested in being able to talk about this particular game. It's an event. It's a once-a-year event. It's something that you know when you walk into work, everybody's going to – that most of your coworkers are going to have watched, or there's going to have been a controversy, or there's going to have been a blown call by an official. And the next thing you know, you want to talk about it. Right? You want to be able to talk about it. So I know often I have read – quickly in the morning, articles about the Super Bowl or other football games so I can talk to people about them even if I haven't watched them.
And so philosophically, where does this fall in the pantheon of Western philosophy? Is this Bacchus and Dionysus?
I tend to think it's a combination, right? So it's both Dionysian in terms of the excitement, the buildup, the release, the halftime show, the spectacle, the often accompanying violence that occurs with the winning team, you know, city after the game. Those are all very Dionysian things. On the other hand, you have to think about how much discipline these players and coaches have to be able to put all that out of their minds and play for 60 minutes without that getting in the way.
So it's both Apollonian and
Dionysian. It's both Apollonian and Dionysian.
Wow. I had never thought of football that way, particularly the Super Bowl. It was just...
Oh, but they have to, right? Yeah. I mean, they can't pay attention to the halftime show. They have to be back in the locker room trying to figure out how they're going to play better in the second half, what corrections they're going to make. So the ability of professional athletes, this is, you know, what makes them professional, or dedicated athletes in other kinds of championships, is the self-control that they have to exercise even in the midst of all the chaos and celebrityness and social interest that's going on. They have to stay focused.
Yeah, that's happening just around them.
Yeah, so I would say at that point, they're being as focused as any philosopher could be.
When does something like the Super Bowl, or maybe how is the better question, how does it move from a pop culture thing to just culture? How does it influence our greater culture beyond the day and event itself?
Well, I think one way it seeps into the culture at large is, and I mean, and this gets back to thinking about the Olympics or thinking about the gladiators or something of that sort, is just the fact that they use Roman numerals to identify them. It makes it seem more important than saying the 2020 World Series. It doesn't sound nearly as exciting as Super Bowl 54 or 55 with Roman numerals, right? And so if you add that to it, you're giving the culture a sense that this game has a meaning to it and a history to it, and it's connected with a history of competition that you don't ordinarily get with other sporting events.
And you really don't. The Olympics, somewhat.
Somewhat.
But that's only once every 4 years.
And that's
very, well,
and that's very national pride oriented. Or, you know, sometimes just an amazing athletic feat by somebody gets your attention, even if you're not rooting for that team.
Right. So who are you going to be rooting for? Or are you going to be rooting for anyone? Or do you not want to say?
No, I will probably, be rooting for the Kansas City Chiefs for all the wrong reasons, right? At least one wrong reason, which is that one of my favorite photos from a Super Bowl ever is a picture of Lynn Dawson, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And he's sitting there, and it's on this very sparse sideline, not with any of the high-tech gear that we see today. He's got this wrap around him, and he's smoking a cigarette. And I just go, that's hardcore. And so there's something about the Kansas City Chiefs because of that picture. And that's what's so interesting about affiliations when, I mean, if you live in San Francisco, you're going to root for the 49ers. If you live in Kansas City or the Midwest, maybe you're going to root for the Chiefs, you're going to root for the underdog, whatever reasons that you might have for rooting for a team. But there's always that one thing that really hooks you individually and uniquely to a team that makes you root for them, I think.
So that photo was yours?
That photo is mine, and so I'll be rooting for the Chiefs. I know nothing about, really, the Kansas City Chiefs season, except they had a good one. I know they have a good team, but could I name
any of the players?
The starting lineup? No, I couldn't, right?
Yeah.
And I feel, you know, sort of bad about that, but you didn't invite me on to analyze the Super Bowl.
So. No, not at all. Not at all. Well, James South, we'll see you at the water cooler the day after.
I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
James South is a professor of philosophy at Marquette University. He's an expert in pop culture. He will be watching the Super Bowl this Sunday.